Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting woman. Among the things that, some of the things that are not known about her, she studied chemistry originally, and she was a chemist for about 4 years, and this was in 1947. She got her degree. Then she decided she wanted to become a lawyer, or a barrister in England. That's what they call it. I don't know if she ever practiced, but in 1952, she studied part-time and eventually got her law degree. I don't know if she became a barrister. Now, in England, they have the dual system. There's a solicitor, which I would probably be had I lived over there and in Canada. And that's the guy who goes out and does the research and investigates the case and prepares it for the lawyers with the barristers. And the barrister is the guy that argues the case. And the great English movies with barristers, one is The Paradigm Case, which used an American, Gregory Peck, as a barrister there. Of course, there's the great Charles Laughton in that film with Marlene Dietrich and Tyrone Power, Witness for the Prosecution, which Charles Laughton was British, was English, and he played the role of a barrister, and his wife, Elsa Maxwell, played the role of his nurse. So those are among the interesting, and there are other films, Robert Donat playing barristers. Anyway, this came up when the Pope, the Argentine Cardinal Bergoglio became Pope Francis I, and the president of Argentina, woman, came to visit, and they've been at odds on a lot of things, gay marriage and all of that. But the whole issue is, for both of them, is the Falkland Islands, or Malvinas, as the Argentines call it. Now, the thing about the British, whenever they captured something, piece of territory, like the Bulldogs, they refuse to give it up. You just look at Gibraltar. Spain wants back Gibraltar, and that ain't happening, although Gibraltar has become one of those offshore money laundering places for such things as the international homosexual video trade, which we have documented. Now, she decided to play Elizabeth I and fight the Spanish, or the Argentines, when the Argentines invaded the Falklands in 1982, and she won that, even though it cost Britain the Sheffield, and they got their the British lion's tail got singed by the Exocet rockets, which the Argentines had. Now, one thing that wasn't known about that war, it's not well publicized, is that the United States sold bomb fuses to the Argentine Air Force, and those fuses apparently were defective. That's why a lot of the bombs did not go off. And, of course, Prince Edward, not Edward, but Andrew, was, I believe, on one of the ships. There was an attempted assassination against her by the IRA. It was unsuccessful. She wasn't the only prime minister that had been a target of an assassination. Her son, Mark Thatcher, she had twins, and it's interesting what a strong lady she was. She gave birth to her twins, the only children she had, the two, and Mark, and I forgot the girl's name, the woman's name, and next day she got up and took her took an exam. This amazing woman. And, of course, her husband was in the paint business, Dennis, and there's a famous picture of Margaret and Dennis painting their kitchen. Her son, Mark Thatcher, went to South Africa and became a businessman. He got involved in a coup against the French Equatorial Guinea, I think it's what it was. And he operated from South Africa in violation of their arms dealers' laws. And he was given a four-year suspended sentence, and he had to pay $3 million in rand. I don't know what the monetary convert the funds. Anyway, this is interesting. He had married an American. He had two kids. I think the woman's name was Bergdorf, a Texas millionaire's daughter. But because he is a convicted felon, or he's, a suspended sentence, he can't enter the United States. He must be the only son of a British prime minister who is barred from entering the United States. This is interesting because Churchill's grandson, Spencer's, all of them have paid visits to the United States. And even though Mark Thatcher's children are Americans or half Americans, he can't visit them in the United States. I think this is accurate. So that's one of the more interesting things about them. Now, on this date, Harry Truman believed in unions, but as a small businessman, he didn't like strikes. And I don't know any businessman that likes strikes. And he threatened to seize the steel mills once. And also, when the railroad workers went on strike, he threatened to draft them. And his attorney general said, I don't think this is legal. And he says, we'll do it first and worry about the consequences after. Now, another thing that's not known about Harry Truman was that he studied law. He was an administrative law judge. A lot of people don't know that. And, of course, he became that after his haberdashery business failed, after he returned from World War I. He was a captain in the U.S. Army. And then when he became an administrative law judge, he got involved with one of America's corrupt political machines known as the Prendergast machine in Kansas City, Missouri. And that became his start in American politics, which led to the White House. Now, people are concerned about Korea, North and South. And, of course, we get a lot of our, like the Hyundai. South Korea is an economic power, one of the tigers of Asia, along with Singapore at one time, and Thailand was, Malaysia was, of course, and India is the biggest. but anyway, people are concerned about North Korea launching missiles against South Korea, and of course they're bragging, they're saber rattling and missile launching through their mouths, running their mouths, that they can aim their missiles at Washington, D.C. Since Red China borders North Korea, and of course they did invade across the Yalu River during the Korean War, and this cost MacArthur his command because he said it wasn't going to happen. Anyway, it is believed by the political cognoscenti and intelligence cognoscenti that Red China, because it does supply various things to North Korea, whose economy is in the tanks. Although North Korea, a lot of people don't know this, but it is alleged, there's credible allegations that North Korea was using one of its consulates to counterfeit world currencies. So this is something that needs to be looked at. Again, it did come up, I think, their Moscow embassy. However, since Red China does have some influence over North Korea, and they do, people flee from North Korea into China, and China sends these North Koreans back, and then they end up in labor camps and concentration camps, re-education camps. But since people haven't been paying attention to Taiwan, which was formerly known as Formosa, and like Tibet, China, Red China, claims Formosa, Tibet, as one of the traditional provinces of China, and they want it back. They've made threats. And the only reason that they have not been able to invade Taiwan is because of the presence of the U.S., I think it's the 6th or 7th Fleet. So this whole thing about North Korea and this Kim Il-jung, the fat boy, running his mouth may be a political feint. We are all – something's wrong with Red China. First, we've had the pet food that poison American pets, the dogs especially. Then we had the swine, their bird flu, and we've got it again. Now we discovered that they are very big in heavy industry and steel manufacturing, and the bolts that were put into San Francisco's Bay Bridge, the bolts, many of them are breaking, and that isn't even before an earthquake to test the stress strength of these things. And then we have our mayor over there, whose father is from China, Red China, who wants to get investment in Treasure Island to build housing. I mean, given the track record of the poor or lack of quality of Chinese manufacturing and the products that they're sending over here, do we really want this? Do we really want Chinese constructed or Chinese housing in the United States? I doubt that. Anybody should think about that. Now, another issue is, of course, this the latest bird flu and also the pigs. They had thousands of pigs have been dumped into the river, and God knows they used that water for manufacturing and all its pollution. I hate to say it, but you really can't trust stuff coming from Red China. They have very low or no quality control, and I don't think they really care about whether or not their products are contaminated or that they are poisoning Americans and anybody else that buys their products. So I heard that they were making wine. I did taste some of their wine is lousy. I did taste their coffee from the Yunnan province. It is insipid. So that's something that people need to think about. I will put this up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, and on one of our new blogs, the Mercy, which is the hospital ship the U.S. Navy uses to help people who have disasters. They're also there for when our troops have to be evacuated, troops who have been injured. And the Mercy was it was converted from an oil tanker. It was here in San Francisco for several months, and we did do some video, and we'll put that up. I'm surprised that nobody else, as far as I know, covered that ship. It has quite a history. Talking about health issues, do you buy clothes from thrift stores? Do you pick up clothes on the street that people have dumped? This came up at one of the thrift stores that we go to. We were warned that a woman had bought some clothes chain thrift stores, and she didn't wash them. They were blouses. She went on a trip. She was a doctor, this woman, and she became apparently something was a contamination in the blouses, and she got an infection in her breast, and both breasts had to be removed. We have a picture of a communicable disease at MRSA, which also is transmitted by contaminated clothes. So a word to the wise, if you buy any clothes or get clothes for free, it's best to wash them in hot water and with a very good soap and a bleach that if it's colored, you don't have to, the bleach won't ruin the color. But at least wash those clothes in hot water if you're going to do that. The same thing with shoes. You should spray them if you buy used shoes. Spray them with Lysol or something so you don't pick up communicable disease. This is very dangerous, and you don't want to end up like that woman. And also, there are people who will not buy underwear or socks, but these items are sold in the thrift stores, and people are trying to save money, and also these items are left on the street. So that's things that safety measures that you should be aware of, because there's so many diseases, and we see more and more, and ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and costs you. Among the interesting birthdays today, this is interesting, the series The Borgias, there are two videos out. One was put out by, I think, Stars, and they've got part two coming out with Jeremy Irons, who's an interesting character in and of himself. But there's another Italian-Canadian series, which is much more graphic, and we've seen have previewed both of them. But that wasn't the first Borgia Pope. The first Borgia Pope was in 1455, and his name was Alphonsine di Borgia, and he took a strange name, Callistus III. I never heard of a pope named Callistus, C-A-L-I-S-T-U-S. And there were two of them before this guy, before this Borgia. In 1766, get this, the first fire escape was patented. And on this day in 1865, Robert E. Lee, the greatest general in the Civil War, he surrendered to Grant at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia. And Grant was very gracious. Of course, they had been classmates at West Point. Another invention on this day in 1879, milk was first produced or marketed in glass bottles. Another thing, John Lind on this date invented, patented the aerosol dispenser. Remember, use those dispensers with disinfectant to disinfect shoes if you buy shoes or pick them up off the street, which a lot of people do these days. They don't have money and people are putting out stuff for free. This is interesting, and maybe we need another one of these amendments. In 1913, the 17th Amendment was passed by the states, which permitted direct election of senators. Prior to this time, U.S. senators were appointed by their state legislatures, and that's why we had so much corruption. Of course, we have a different type of corruption today, and maybe it's time for term limits. 1933, the Works Progress Administration was approved by Congress. This is one of the FDR's administration's programs to deal with the Depression. Some people think a similar type of WPA should be passed by Congress again. We don't have the money. And this is related to Mr. Obama. In 1943, Jomo Kenyatta was convicted by the British of being associated with the Mau Maus, a terrorist group which was killing British settlers because the British still controlled and ruled Kenya at that time. And that's also supposed to be the birthplace, according to a lot of the critics of Mr. Roe, is where Mr. Roe was actually born. In 1952, getting back to Harry Truman, he seized was going to seize the steel mills because he didn't want a strike. And of course, Harry Truman didn't hesitate to do these things. And he, at about that time, Senator Robert Taft, who was Mr. Republican and whose name had come up as a conservative in Republican presidential conventions, to deal with the unions, an out of control situation with the labor unions. Congress passed the Taft-Hartley Act. Harry Truman didn't like it. He appreciated the support from unions, even though he didn't like strikes. This is interesting. In 1953, Dag Hammarskjöld was elected the head of the United Nations. Now, Hammarskjöld was gay. He was killed in a plane crash in the Congo when he went to try to negotiate, mediate a peace among the Congolese natives after the Belgians were forced out. The Belgians abused the Congolese natives, the Africans, and they exploited them wholesale. And anybody that was accused of stealing, they would cut off their hands. There was all kinds of economic and physical terror, torture, and death. In 1966, one of the last of the old-time Stalinists, Brezhnev, was elected first secretary of the Communist Party. And then this is a case which I was interviewed Mel Belli on. In 1985, in Bhopal, India, United Carbide had a chemical plant, and there was a huge disaster there. And infected and contaminated a lot of people. So the Indian government sued United Carbide. Mel Bell, I was involved in that case, the great lawyer who's been dead for several years now and a great friend of mine. We were both dog lovers. And here's a great guy. And we do have a video of Clint Eastwood's Hog's Breath Tavern. 1984, Clint Eastwood was elected mayor of Carmel. Carmel, California, nice, wealthy resort area, is also the area where Saul Alinsky died. People are wondering, how is this community activist, what's he doing down in Carmel? And it is that where he hid his wealth, which some people suspect that's what he did when he was running these community organizations like the Woodlawn Organization in Chicago. Part of my speech class, I had to interview Saul Alinsky, but he blew me off. Not a nice man. And, of course, here the nanny state again. In 1994, the Pentagon banned smoking in the Pentagon and on all U.S. military bases. And a historical note for a great German patriot who opposed Hitler, a Lutheran, I think it was a minister, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or at least a theologian. This was the day before he was to be hanged by the Nazis, and he is a hero among all the religions who believe that any type of tyranny and persecution of religion should be resisted and rejected, not embraced. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, 1945, before the end of the Third Reich, he was hanged the next day on April 9th, 1945. And I think this is appropriate today. I didn't have my Yale fight song. I couldn't find it, and I think I promised to find it. And this is a clip from the Cole Porter movie where Cary Grant plays Cole Porter, and where he composed this Yale fight song. We didn't have it last week, so we found it since the Eli Yale's birthday was last week. So we made up for it this week. I think this is interesting. I'm going to play this little clip. Will Rogers, the great humorist, and he's talking about government plans, and this is very relevant to what's going on in Washington today. What happened here?
In this country, there is not who shall be relieved and whose money shall relieve him, but who shall be the one that plays Santa Claus and actually hands out the presents, you know? That's the main problem today, is who hands out the presents. Here he says he should wear the whiskers. And it isn't Mr. Hopkins. They say, no, we've got sleigh bells ourselves. Governor Talmadge, down in Georgia, he had a plan. It hit a rut and knocked him right out of the bread line last week. It's been a bad week on plans all around. I'm not going to get discouraged, though. In fact, these other failures, well, they've given me confidence, you know. More hope that my plan will be a success. Now, my plan, to state it in a nutshell, and in fact, that's where all plans come from. And the nut should never be cracked. But here is my plan in a nutshell. My plan is a plan to end all plans. It's to do away with all plans. That's what it is. There ain't but one place that a plan is any good and that it'll really work, and that's on paper. But the minute you get it off a sheet of paper and get it out in the air and it blows away, that's what. Now, Mr. Roosevelt, he dragged more heat school worms out of little red schoolhouses.
Well, that's the end of that one. So why would our usual politics and poker, which maybe more of these politicians should play poker and get some sense. Of course, a lot of them have poker faces when it comes to the major issues that they don't want to deal with.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to go, what's up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot! That's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can
will be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. We'll continue with the bicycle politicians scandal. There appears to be some influence peddling with this outfit and a growing neighborhood opposition. There's a report from the state of Oregon where what is costing one of the cities up there over $6,000 to support the bicycle agenda. This is per bike. And of course, they're trying to impose it down here in San Francisco, which is, unlike Portland, San Francisco has hills. It's not like Copenhagen or any of the other places. Incidentally, the bicycle was invented in Germany, but it's not that big an item over there as they're trying to make it over here. Anyway, we will end, and we will be back Wednesday at 4 p.m. It's Peter Paul Verzola. Good night.